When did you peak? When I was a teenager, adults used to tell me to enjoy being young because your school years will be your best years. Luckily, my so-called best self wasn't me as an angsty teenager. When I got older, the saying went, life begins at 40. But actually, it turns out your best years may be even later than that. According to a new study, our overall mental functioning is at its highest between 55 and 60, which is good news if the number of candles on your birthday cake is getting harder to count. You're about to hear from the man behind this research to unpack what this means, and you'll also hear from a specialist in older people's health on how to make the most of this peak. Associate Professor Gilles Gignac is the study's researcher. He's with the School of Psychological Science at the University of Western Australia. Gilles, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you very much.
So I feel like most of us think our physical peak happens in our 20s and 30s, but what did your research find about our mental peak?
Well, that's exactly right. Physical peak, unquestionably, is in the 20s. But when you look at the mental capacities in a broad way, so not just hardcore reasoning and memory, but other things like conscientiousness and emotional stability. So we looked at 16 different dimensions that predict important things in life. And we found that when you put it all together, you find the peak somewhere between 55 and 60.
I'm trying to think of what 16 dimensions would be. I won't get you to rattle through them, but do you think that that goes against what most people think of as in terms of like how we perform as we age?
Well, that's a good question, and certainly a lot of people are wondering about that. On the one hand, yes, because so many people are, you know, wondering about this study because people seem to peak in their natural capacities early in adult life. But when you think about terms like wisdom, most people don't think wisdom peaks in your 20s. Mm-hmm. Very few people would think that. This study is a little bit related to wisdom, but it's a little bit more focused on those dimensions in psychology that we know from a research perspective can be measured and can predict things in life, whereas wisdom is a little bit more of a broader concept. So, you know, yes and no when you think about it that way.
I suppose it reveals what we value as a society.
It's possible. I mean, it's possible. On the other hand, like one of the reasons, you know, the main reason I did this study was that we have clear evidence that people reach their peak earnings in their 50s. Mm. You do not reach peak earnings in your 20s or your 30s. You reach peak earnings in your 50s. Also, the majority of people in important complex decision-making roles like CEOs and politicians, they're not in their 20s either. They tend to be in their 50s and early 60s. And the reason the study was done was, how can we come up with a scientific explanation for that based on psychological dimensions? And like I said, when you put all of it together comprehensively, it actually supports why those people tend to be that age in those roles.
That does track. You know, you wouldn't want the president of a country necessarily to be someone in their 20s, even if perhaps they're really mentally sharp. They're just not bringing the same kind of life experience that you have by the time you get to your 50s or 60s.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And one of the dimensions that people tend to peak much later in life is one that people probably haven't heard about much unless you're really into the research, and it's called sunk cost bias resistance. And what does that mean in simple terms? Your ability to cut your losses. So in life, sometimes you put time, money, and effort into a project and you realize it is not going well. And you realize there are other opportunities that you can pursue instead that are going to be better. Younger people tend to spend too much time on these bad projects and not switch early enough. Older people switch faster into these better opportunities. And my hunch is that even if you tell somebody, you know, you need to cut your losses early enough, just hearing that isn't enough. You have to experience it a few times in life before you really consolidate that experience.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and I'm talking to Gilles Gignac, who has found that a lot of our cognitive markers peak around 60. Jim says, I'm now 82 years of age. I can say for all sorts of various complex reasons, every decade of my life has been better than the one before, and still so. Samantha says, I'm 67, so much better at not caring what other people think at all. Extremely liberating. Trevor says, I'm better at siestas. Well, Gilles, what does this research say about how we need to think about aging or older people in the workforce?
Well, that's a good question, and it's a complicated one, but I would say the majority of the evidence suggests that people who lose their jobs in their 50s seem to have a harder time getting hired again compared to people who are younger. And I think there are many reasons for why that might be the case, but one of them might be somewhat an underappreciation for what people in their mid-50s to late 50s bring to the table. And it's possible this study might help people reconsider people in their mid-50s when they're hiring people in roles. That might be something we need to rethink.
So you've looked at these 16 psychological criteria. You say on balance, most people are peaking in later life, but that later life is often when people do experience cognitive decline as well. How do these two things sit alongside each other?
Well, it's because on the one hand, like something like reasoning, undoubtedly on average, people start to decline in that as they get older. So it comes down to the fact that there are so many other dimensions that predict success in life. Like one of them is conscientiousness. So your ability to be organized and dedicated to work and interpersonal reliability. Those are very important criteria. Like reasoning, yes, but conscientiousness as well. Well, conscientiousness is not peaking in 20s. They're much lower in their 20s. Once you get into your 50s and 60s, early 60s, that's when you're kind of peaking at conscientiousness. So it's not a mental capacity like an intelligence, it's a personality trait, and it's an important one. So when you put all those types of dimensions together, that's where you find the 55 to 60.
Gilles, what do you hope people take away from this work?
I suppose that behavior and thinking is complex. It's not just one dimension, like your natural capacity to reason. Decision-making is successful for a variety of reasons that are separate from reasoning and memory span. It's a broader concept than that. You know, I hope people, you know, look at the dimensions. You said 16. There's a lot of them there, and, you know, I don't want to say them right now either. I hope people will check them out and learn more about psychology and its impacts on life and how it actually impacts across the whole age spectrum.
And I'm loving your texts on this as well. Andrea says, studying. I returned to study at 59 and am late into a first year of a Bachelor of Psychological Sciences. Back when I was 19, I dropped out of an arts degree to work. Never did I think I would have been able to do statistics. My whole mindset has changed and I now approach learning as a joy rather than as a chore. Another text says, at 72, I'm better at grappling, that is brown belt jujitsu, much more patient, better at being kind, better at computer networking. I work full-time as a systems engineer. Well, also with me is Dr. Stephanie Ward, a geriatrician. You might recognise her voice from the ABC TV series Old People's Home for Four-Year-Olds. Stephanie, welcome to Life Matters.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So we're hearing Gilles' research talking about all of these different psychological dimensions. You say that happiness also peaks in an older age bracket.
Yes, there have been studies that have also shown that overall happiness and well-being tends to peak later in life towards that 60 to 70-year-old mark. It's not studies that I've led, but I've certainly read these studies with great excitement because some studies have shown that perhaps around our mid-40s tends to be one of our more difficult periods in our life, often involved in juggling careers, the care of children and the care of aging parents. So I think it's really exciting that there are other things to look forward to as we get older as well.
I'm interested to hear from you on how to capitalise on this peak. We hear a lot about cognitive decline and loneliness, and I don't want to diminish the fact that that's a lot of people's experience. But what I'm hearing from you and from Gilles is that it doesn't have to be like that necessarily.
Not necessarily. And I think that in order to capitalise on those increasing gains that we can make in many of our cognitive dimensions that we just heard from that research, it's looking for opportunities to leverage that. It's lucky if you can get those opportunities in the workplace. But we also know that that's not always feasible, and it can also be through family and community involvement as well. And I think that we can't diminish the fact that as we get older, sometimes the prevalence of other age-related conditions does increase, and they can impact cognitive function as well. So keeping an eye on all of the positive things we can do to keep our cognitive function as best as we can is also important, such as exercising, having a good diet, avoiding excessive alcohol, not smoking or stopping smoking, and keeping connected and keeping our brain active is all really helpful.
So protecting what you've got with those sort of healthy living techniques. One of the texts, Stephanie says, peaking between 55 and 60, exclamation marks, have they heard of menopause? I'm 57 and feel like my brain is currently mush. How do we balance what we're hearing from Gilles' work and what the reality is for people who especially are in that phase of life?
Yeah, that's a really good point, because our life's journeys, they're not always smooth, aren't they? And we go through these phases and these biological changes that do affect our physical, psychological and cognitive well-being. I think with respect to menopause, it's really important to be checking in with your GP around supports to ease that transition, and also to be aware that there are phases in our life that are going to be more challenging and everyone's experience is going to be different.
One of the things in the research was that emotional stability peaks in the sort of 60 and onwards phase of life. What's your read of that?
Well, I thought that was great, actually. And I think that if I were to put a lay perspective on that, I think it is around what we heard about before, that sense of wisdom and that sense of perspective and of having lived for so long, just having all of those lessons learned about times when you've been up and times when you've been down and how that's turned out, and having that longer term outlook on challenges and ups and downs in life, I think can contribute to emotional stability, as well as probably some biological changes underpinning that as well. And I think that's a great thing, learning to regulate your emotions and becoming more attuned to them as you live longer with them and become more of an expert in it.
So talk to me about how ageism kind of flies in the face of some of these findings.
It certainly does, doesn't it? Ageism is a discriminatory attitude towards older people, the sense that we lose as much value as we had as we get older. And I really like that this study challenges a lot of those notions, because we do see older people in our society making such significant contributions. And I like that this study reminds us that people who hold key leadership positions, not just in corporate world, but often in political worlds as well, are of much older age, and likely because of those qualities that continue to develop over time, such as moral reasoning and conscientiousness and emotional stability. So this is a type of study that helps us to dispel some of these ageist attitudes. And I think it also speaks to how it's really important to have a mix of ages in any workplace or organisation, so you can capitalise on everybody's peak cognitive function, whether for the younger people it's that speed of learning and quick information processing, or with older people, that more measured decision making. I think it's a really great advertisement for why having different people from different generations together is a great key for success.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. With me is Dr. Stephanie Ward, who's a geriatrician. You've probably seen her on Old People's Home for 4-year-olds. Jason is 55 years old and says, I get better at sharing my wisdom in the workplace and learning from my mature age friends who are more connected with the world than one might think. My 87-year-old friend says she listens to the ABC, reads newspapers every day and does crosswords. What incredible advice, Jason says. So now I've tuned in. Caroline says, I've heard that there's a saying in Japan that if you peak before you're 50, you're peaking too soon. I write it in every friend's 50th birthday card anyway. And Kate says, I'm now in my 60s. I'm better at sex, comfortable in my body, fit and confident. I know what I like and how to ask for it. So Stephanie, kind of off the back of what we're hearing people sharing, what's your advice to people on how to make the most of the parts of their mind that are doing better than it was when they were younger, and maybe not get down about the fact that sometimes your body isn't what it was when it was younger?
I think that a great piece of wisdom I once heard is that in life you might be able to have everything, but you can't have everything that you want at the same time. And I think that speaks to our cognitive and psychological strengths as well. We can't have all of the strengths that are there at the same time, and this research shows us that. So first of all, be compassionate to yourself about the things that might have changed, whether that's some physical changes, whether that is some of these cognitive changes. Dig in and lean into the strengths that you do have. This study really shows people that there's a lot to celebrate as we get older, and share the wisdom and have confidence in sharing opinions and helping to guide decision making and provide that input, particularly in scenarios dealing with younger generations. I think there's a lot of good news to celebrate with this study.
Do you think we need to change our culture in workplaces especially?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And I think it might to some extent depend upon the type of workplace and environment in which you're in. Some workplaces already do have a lot of celebration of older leaders and older wisdom, which is a wonderful aspect. But perhaps in others that don't, then yes, I think definitely embracing the value and the perspectives of older people is something that could enhance the value and enhance the culture of a workplace, 100%.
Stephanie, Gilles, thank you both so much for joining me. Dr. Stephanie Ward is a geriatrician. You will have seen her if you've watched the ABC TV series Old People's Home for 4-Year-Olds. And you also heard from Associate Professor Gilles Gignac from the School of Psychological Science at the University of Western Australia.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.